Appreciate you coming back. Had to bring you back because there's always a lot going on. But I wanted to get started with happy belated 47th birthday.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
A day I'd never thought about, but I'm here.
Yeah. I saw you did a poster. You talked about it where you're like, I didn't think I'd ever get to 47.
I think at about 14, 15, I remember telling my mother, I don't think I'm going to see 18. And I accepted that. But it was kind of like accepting that triggered something else in me.
Yeah.
It was kind of like picture you in the jungle and they're telling you, you're going to die in this jungle. Mm-hmm. So now you're like, well, since I know I'm going to die in the jungle, let me do as much damage as I can. Right? And it sent me into that, which ultimately landed me in prison. So I really believe me going to prison at such a young age is what saved me.
Gotcha. How long were you in prison for?
My last stretch, I did 6 years. 5 years, 11 months, close to 6 years.
Okay. Obviously, our channel is Tupac and Suge Knight based a little bit. Since our last interview, Suge started a podcast. I wanted to see if you had any thoughts about it or if any segment stuck out to you, because I know he mentioned you with the whole funeral thing and saying that he could have sold jewelry or he could have sold a car to get the money.
Well,
that...
what jewelry and what car? You went to jail in a rapture in a pickup truck. See, people got to understand is that you can see a guy today walking in the store and say, oh, that's such and such. He played for the NBA, right? But this is 15 years later. He's not that guy. He didn't have the endorsements. He got on drugs. He lives with his sister. So let's just be real. That day was based upon him hoping to get some money, right?
Yeah.
That day, he was in a pickup truck that he had been driving every day, right? Let's fast forward. Suge Knight's attorneys kept dismissing themselves for what reason? He couldn't pay them. Mm-hmm. See, people gotta like put things into perspective when you hear certain things, right? Right, the Suge Knight of 2016 or 15 or whatever that was it the Suge Knight of 1996? The Suge Knight of 2003 or 4 when he came home, was it the Suge Knight of 96? He came home to things falling apart, his company getting took, bankruptcy. It's been on many occasions that I had to get Suge a hotel room at the Holiday Inn, 5 days at a time. Irv Gotti have gotten Suge Knight hotel rooms, right? Let's just be real. Your revenue was gone. Money wasn't coming in. So, you know, his family members know this. I can go pull wires if you keep pushing me to show this. I paid for the casket, the dress, the burial. I even paid for the repass and the banquet hall in Compton and the catering company. Maybe I'll do that. I'll call the catering company and get the invoice. I paid for all these things. But, you know, Suge Knight's whole situation is not respectable. You know, he's going to say what he's going to say on whatever this podcast thing is because nobody knows what's real and what's not of today. I know. Reggie know. Mob James will know some of the things that was while he was there. Right, the homies know who don't do social media. But let's just be real. Suge, you really in jail for being a coward. You in jail for being a coward. Let's talk about it. You went up to the set to address the powers that be for some money because you felt like they should pay you and they're in Compton. The guy that was over security, Bone, wasn't going for it, took it as disrespect because it's his watch, right? But he's working for you know, the actual company. Yeah. Things get out of line. Police there. Suge makes a comment like, you acting real tough in front of police. They ask Bone, take an early lunch, have a breather, remove yourself so nothing happens. This is not a fucking rap video shoot. Yeah. This is a set of a major motion picture. Yeah. Bone leaves. Suge end up leaving 5-10 minutes later. Gets a call to pull up somewhere. Pulls up. Coincidentally, Bone's there. Now, let's start from that point on. Bone on the set wanted to fight. Suge Knight said on the set, you acting real tough in front of the police, as if we can't fight. Mm-hmm. Now, we're on 142nd behind Tams. Right? Bone wants to fight. There's no police. So why didn't you get out the pickup truck and fight? Let's talk about it.
Yeah. And his whole thing was they had a gun, right?
Let's talk about it.
Okay.
If they would have had a gun, the gun would have been fired. Bone wanted to fight. Let's explore that. Get your bitch ass out the truck. He wouldn't get out the truck. Did Bone fire a gun? Did Bone hit him over the head with a gun? No. Bone jumped on the side of the truck and commenced to socking him in his fucking face in his head. Fist. Now, maybe Bone hit him so motherfucking hard, he thought he got hit with a 38 special. Right? What did Suge do? Take the truck out of park. Throw it in reverse. Throw it in the drive. Reverse. Throw Bone off. Drive to get away and runs over the other gentleman. Yeah. May he rest in peace. Shout out to the Carter family. Blessings. So, let's be real. Right? Suge is really in jail because he was scared to fight. There was never a gun recovered. There was never a gun fired. In fact, the only thing Bone had on him was a fucking walkie-talkie. Now, maybe you so spooked that you thought the walkie-talkie was a gun. Mm-hmm. Right? But once Bone jumped on the truck and began hitting you,
right,
you can see at that point, these are hands, it's no weapon.
Mm-hmm.
He never swung back.
So are you saying that Suge's in prison today because he didn't get out of the truck at Tams, and that Terry Carter's dead also because of that?
Suge is in jail doing time off 28 because he was a coward. All these things you hear about happen with Suge, it's because Suge was there with 50 people. I could put a midget, the most. I can take Lemmy Plummer and put it with 50 thugs. And he could run around here and claim he did all kind of shit. Shout out to Zeus. Right? But let's be real, world. I'm tired of y'all when it comes to everybody else. Y'all try to run narratives with no facts. But when all the facts are there, everybody act like they don't see them. Even Stevie Wonder could see, Suge, you're in jail because you were scared to fight one man. One man. Maybe they need to podcast that with Dave Mays.
Do you think he's capable of doing an honest podcast? Or do you think it'll always kind of be extras on?
It's always going to be extras. He's running out of shit to talk about. Let's be real, brother. Ain't a whole lot he can talk about. Death Row was like a 4 or 5 year thing. 92, 97. 92 is just getting going. 93 is moving. 96, Pac's dead. 97, I believe Snoop might have released his last one. The Last Meal, something like that. And Snoop meant that shit. That's why it was called that. It's the last time you're going to eat off me. Right? And shout out to Pastor P for doing that, for opening up doors and putting Snoop in the proper position and seat. Because without that happening, we wouldn't have the mogul and the legend we have today in Snoop, which is a representation of hip-hop overall, but more than that, the West Coast. When he came home, everything was a failure. Crooked Eye was on fire. Mm-hmm. But Suge's so fucking stupid and stubborn, he's telling everybody, I can't put music out, I don't have distribution. Yeah. It wasn't that he didn't have distribution. You just sold 50% of your catalog to Koch, where you get 5% of all urban acts that come through there. Terms that was negotiated by Mr. Reggie Wright. So you have distribution, but it's independent distribution. But let me tell you where he's slow at. Suge could have been one of the first ones out the gate with a label like that. Under an indie distro, making more money, doing less numbers, but a bigger percentage of the cut. And he'd have been ahead of everybody, right? But he wanted back in the UMG. F*** that, y'all gonna let me back in. Y'all gonna let me back in. But what he's not understanding is the powers that be, Jimmy Iovine's, the Dr. Dre, who was 10 times what you are at this time, they ain't letting you back in. And instead of going to get the oatmeal, Suge, being a bad leader, chose no meal and didn't send his music through Koch. They dropped one project. I believe it was a Dysfunctional Family soundtrack. They did nothing. Petey Pablo came over there for management. Suge Knight took some money from the label as if he was going to apply it to Petey and went and bought a fucking Range Rover. This is facts, right? That's why they kind of like fell out. But at the end of the day, it's like Suge is not relevant, has not been relevant to music in the period of 22 years. And the last, he doesn't even understand the distribution of music. He doesn't even understand the whole digital realm of music. He has never released an album in this digital world we're in. Yeah. This is facts. Now, we give you your run and what you did, but you're not Birdman. You understand what I'm saying? You're not those people who went through this phase of it, warped to this phase of it, went through this change of it, went through this twist and turn, and continued to reinvent and continue to be successful. We're going to give you your little block. Give you a little block of the things you did, but you cannot, you couldn't sustain or you could not maintain those things you did to a point to where you don't even own your catalog. There's nothing about your body of work that you get paid for today. There's nothing about it, right? And that's why when I hear this, I'm suing Snoop for death row because how the deal was done. You ready to do a little math? Mm-hmm. Okay, math's my favorite subject, okay. Right? Okay, Death Row as a whole. Sale number one, Koch, 50%, right? Second sale by default, right? Feds take it. Lydia Harris, whatever's going on. Third sale, auction to a little old Canadian lady. Okay, so by the third sale, Koch owns half, which is a Canadian-based company, and a little old Canadian lady owns the other half. Fourth sale, Canadian lady sells to Koch. Now, Koch owns the whole Death Row catalog. Fifth sale, Koch sells to E1. Sixth sale, E1 sells to Hasbro. Right? Hasbro doesn't give a fuck about the music. Hasbro wanted the cartoon Peppa Pig, which E1 owned. So they had to buy it in its entirety, sit on it for a while, and then Hasbro sells the music division to Monarch. Monarch to Snoop Doggy motherfucking dog. So before you sue Snoop, and this is where these people in this world, the 70% of the world that are sheep and don't understand business, before you can sue Snoop, the eighth guy, to say it was illegal transaction done with the Death Row catalog, wouldn't you have to go through the other seven transactions? Knock it off. See, this is what you get when you playing with... See, right now, y'all talking to Cass Jones. See, WAC 100 is an entertainment name. The other WAC, he's a street guy. He protects WAC 100 and Cass Jones. This is the breakdown of it. But he says shit, so people can say, oh, she'll gonna get it back. Why, when you were on the streets from 03 to 2015 to 16, there was never a conversation of Suge is suing Koch, Suge is suing E1. Suge, why wasn't the conversation there? Because for it to get to Snoop on the eighth sale, that mean whatever happened wrong already was happening. You're a liar. You're not relevant. And the conversation of today, a lot of the little guys that you may have bullied and talked down on are big guys. The guy that you took everything from walked out with nothing, Dr. Dre, and added to what we know as hip hop, 50 Cent, Eminem, The Firm, Dre Beats, and a host of other things, and it's still going on. Right? This is what it is. So when you put Suge with his peers, let's not put Suge with the guy over here, let's put Suge with his peers. Let's put you with Birdman. Let's put you with Irv Gotti. Right? Let's put you with Puffy. You know, he's going through what he's going through, but let's put you with your peers. Yeah. You've been checked out the game.
I remember Reggie saying in older interviews that it was like a 70%, 30% distribution deal with Koch. But that's if you're getting nitpicky.
We're talking 02, 03. So we had distribution. It was just an indie. He chose not to put out Crooked Eye. And Crooked Eye, undisputably, was one of the hardest West Coast motherfuckers back then. He was an animal. Yeah. He held up that man's career because of his own stubbornness and ego and selfishness, because he didn't want to use the distribution that was in front of him. That would have been huge. You realize how far ahead of the game he would have been? He would have been Ghazi on steroids. And then when people talk this shit, we give Death Row what they give it, but the biggest independent label ever released on the West Coast is Empire. That's a fact. You can't even hold that no more. Longevity was success. There was no longevity in it. It was ignorance. He was a bad leader. You know, it was all about, look at me. Right? And when they look at you, all he did was throw the pickup truck in reverse and drive and run from the fight. Stop talking this tough shit. You got to Donovan State Penitentiary, you PC'd up. P-Funk is talking to me. You embarrassed the card. White, what's up with dude? What's happening? He went to classification. He said he didn't want to hit the line. He go to the PC yard. You get on here and you doing all this talking and all this, but bro, that ain't what you are. That ain't what it is. Act your in age. You got a son running around here. You know what, Reggie? I'm not going to talk about that. But you have kids running around here. Help guide them. You know why he don't help guide them? Because he came. He's a dinosaur. It's like a shade tree mechanic telling you how to soup up an LS motor. It's like a shade tree mechanic talking about, I can't get it to idle right because he don't understand the technology of the fucking brain of the computer and plugging into it. Right? Everything is different. Right? The QCPs, the WAC 100s, the people that's in this game right now still shaking and baking. The Birdmans who warped through this shit 30 plus years. Those are people that understand this business. I want to see him do a podcast and break down the business of the day. I challenge him to that. Break down the business of the day on how it works, how streaming works, how YouTube works, how this, how that works, how TikToks work, what's the money generated, what's the strategy to doing this shit. He can't. And that's cool, but stop perpetrating the fraud and stop fronting.
In the comments section a lot, we get people asking that Reggie, you know, why do you support WAC when he says this about Tupac or he says that about Afeni? So my question is,
What did I say wrong about Tupac or Afeni? What are they saying I shouldn't be saying?
They bring up the SA issue in jail with Tupac. My question
when
is
was sexually assaulted.
Yes.
Yeah.
My question is
Suge knows about it.
Okay. That's what I wanted to know is how you heard about it.
It's recordings of Suge talking about it. We have them.
Do you feel like he was being honest about that? That happened?
Well, first of all, the reason why the last original director, may he rest his soul, was pulled off of it because they paid him to do for a picture. So when he went to do his research, he's doing his research. You know, one thing about prison, if they go to the prison yard right now and take my CDC number and say, hey, we need the medical files on him, right? He's claiming he's working for Budweiser or Pepsi, and he's claiming this fall ruptured his whatever, right? And we have reason to believe that he was involved in a riot to where the prison records would show that that was already ruptured in prison. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
See, those prison records are there. When you get into an altercation or something happens to you, right? They come get you, they strip you, they do a cavity search. It's a little body, cut here, bruise here, black eye here, this, that. In this case, they had the documents that showed he was penetrated, he was violated. See, at the end of the day, this doesn't take away from who Pac was as an artist. His music is his music, right? It's things that happen to everybody that that individual may not be proud of. You know what I mean? But is it the fact that they're saying it's not true, or why are you mentioning it? I mention it because when it comes up in conversation, it's just that conversation. Because everybody has conversation about WAC 100. Majority of time, it's some bullshit-ass lies. But hey, this is social media. It is what it is. I let it roll off of me because you can't beat me with a lie. Right? But, you know, Reggie, I've been over to the vault and the content is there. I dare you, Suge, to say you didn't know nothing about this. I dare you. Think wisely because we have you addressing it.
If that audio were to ever come out?
Oh, it's coming out.
What do you think is going to happen to Suge's reputation within the Tupac community, which is the bigger, you know, you got your Death Row fans and you got your Tupac fans. The Tupac fans far outweigh the Death Row ones. What do you think happens to his reputation or credibility once that's out?
Well, I think a lot of the Tupac fans don't really trust Suge like that anyway. But like I said, listen, bro, leave me alone. Dave May, stop playing with me. Suge, stay in your place. Do your thing. I ain't gonna step on your toes. But boy, every time you mention my name, I'm gonna spank you. One thing you know is when it comes to the funk, ain't none of us no busters. Ain't none of us turning down shit, and we gonna crash. Say what you want by WAC, but WAC keep them receipts. See, one thing about the Valley, we come with great schools over there. Great schools, and they teach you to plot, plan, execute. Plot, plan, execute. Right? Troubleshoot. Figure it out. Show the steps of the equation before you get to the answer. Without showing the steps, the answer's still wrong. Right? Suge, you did great things in your era of music, but you will never outthink me. You're not smarter than me. You's a dummy. Because if you were smart, you would have played possum and kept shit right. And utilize your op to reinforce your hand and make you stronger. Instead, the hatred in your heart, the envy in your heart, allows you to make haste decisions without plotting, without planning. Therefore, your execution is always disrupted when you fucking with somebody like me. It's just what it is. So, you know, I think the Tupac community don't really trust you anyway. You know, it's up in the air, you know, about what it was, what it wasn't. You know, the death of Pac should, it, you know, let's keep it real. I'm responsible for my team, A to Z. Even those people that have jobs to do, I must know their jobs because I got to be able to identify when they're not doing their jobs. And when they're not doing their jobs, I have to fill in either for myself or appoint somebody else to fill in. First of all, Pac should have been pulled, took to the room and reprimanded and sat down for the night for what he did. Second of all, how you driving and don't realize your security ain't securing. Right? Do I think Suge has something to do with the actions happening to Pac? Absolutely not. But because of his lack of leadership, because of his neglect to make sure the team was operating the way it was supposed to, you got Pac killed. Because the minute you didn't see the security where it's at, you're supposed to alert somebody or you're supposed to reposition yourself. How you sitting there in a Cadillac with 3-4 guys pull up and your mind ain't seeing what's going on, right? How you not looking to your right and not seeing the formation of security's not there? It's simple formation. Left plank, right plank, middle. A car that, a lead car. That's it. Nothing could get on the side of or behind or in front of. There wasn't a security vehicle nowhere around. So at the end of the day, it still falls on you. Your job, heavy as a head that wears a crown. Handle your business.
What do you think of all the stuff that's going on with Diddy as far as the raids and the investigation, all that stuff? Have you ever met Diddy, first of all?
Yeah, I definitely met Diddy. If you go back to the WAC 100 Instagram post, I've been following it 10 days prior to the raid when I seen the article of this 16-year-old girl when they said it's going from civil to criminal on a rape. I said right then and there, I smell the feds. You know, the law enforcement is very strategic. They don't come grab you unless they got you. But we got to pay attention to the people they've grabbed. Who have they grabbed? It's one guy. The white guy.
The mule.
The alleged mule. Yeah. Right? On the other side of it, you have the people of Virginia saying they're in need of some pink cocaine, whatever the fuck that is. I've been so far out of the street hustle, I don't even know what that is. I don't even know what the drugs are these days. And then you have them saying that, well, Young Miami brought it. He called out to Florida and put it on the jet. The mule was arrested about to get on the jet, right?
Yeah.
On the mule, it was the drugs, right?
Yeah.
They only came to get that mule because they probably got 5 or 6 to 10 other transactions already made by people they put in the trick bag and said, hey, either you go to jail or you keep on doing what we need you to do. That mule is very important. The young lady, 16, they got an RCA party. They can timestamp that. CRA, she claiming they gave her liquor and they ran a train on her, right? That's going to be a very serious case. I know I talk to R. Kelly at least once a week. And the reason why it's federal, because the law of the land, no matter what the state says, in 32 or 33 of our states, legal age of consent is 16, right? Feds will trump and supersede state law. The law of the land federally is 18. So it doesn't matter what your state says. This is why the feds will grab that case. This is why R. Kelly's in the feds, right? If you're under the age of 18, we don't care if your state says it's okay at 16 or 17. They can charge you. But has the mule been released? Has he been bailed out? This is a white kid, right? I ain't trying to sound the way I'm trying to sound, but they always get a little favor. This is the nonviolent. It's not fucking El Chapo or Pablo Escobar, right? We've seen worse get apprehended by the feds and upon a court date get released, right? Ankle bracelet or whatever, whatever restrictions. Surrender your passport or whatever, right? He's still in there, right? Okay, they went and hit 3 locations. They got what they got. And they're putting it together. I don't think that Puffy is a monster. I think that Puffy is not man enough to come out and simply say he's bisexual, right? I think that the things that Puffy was doing, I think it was consensual amongst his community. I think the people that returned over and over again to enjoy a Puffy party knew what they were getting into. But just because you're doing some things doesn't make it legal, right? Yeah. And when you're dealing with human beings, people can be very vindictive, right? Mm-hmm. And they know that the things we were doing are not legal. And that just like that, you're not going to pay me? Okay, I'm going to tell them about these things going on. It don't matter. You agreed. It don't matter if I agreed or not. It's still against the law. And that's the uphill battle that Puff is up against. I don't think he manipulated anybody. I don't think, I'm going to be real, I don't think he forced anybody to take any drugs, because the people that want the drugs take the drugs. I've been to many parties. I still haven't smoked a blunt, took a fucking pill, did any cocaine. You see what it is. That's their business. Hell, I go to the club. I don't even drink, right? So I don't think he manipulated anybody to do these things, but I think now people are simply using the law to say, this man did this, 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 that. And some of the things they're saying he did and participated in, unfortunately, I guess, when it comes to federal or state law, is a violation.
Yeah. Like, what do you think about when his old bodyguard or old employees say he would spike drinks on girls and you know, then they wouldn't know what happened?
You're talking about Gene Deal?
Yeah.
Gene ain't been pub bodyguard 25, 26 years. Gene said some wild shit. I think I seen something a week ago when he was like, Diddy gave Biggie $200,000 for his publishing. And Biggie was writing for all these people and wasn't claiming it. So, you know, Puff said, fuck it, you ain't gonna claim it. Fuck it, all y'all could die. Right? I'm going to get my money one way or another. Brother, why would he want to kill Biggie when if he did do a pub deal, his revenue and his money comes from Biggie putting out continuous music. Listen, man, all the security know. Your ass is outside the door. The things you talking about, and I don't think he realizes if it was happening on your watch, you seen it. Nigga, you just as guilty as Puff. You might need to slow down. Because if you saying you watching, allegedly, him lace a drink, and there's some girls here, and you see it, Gene's a fucking probation officer. Let's be clear. His value was he can have that gun. He's a probation officer. So you watched him do this, and you didn't say nothing about it. But now, 25 years later, allegedly, you want to say he was just a monster? Well, shit. You may not have been the one doing the lacing, but if you watching the lacing happening and ain't saying nothing, it ain't going to happen. I go to my studio. I walk in. Hey, all the women to the lobby. Identification. I don't have it. Step out, please. Step out, please. Step up. 17. You need to call your parents. Call Uber. This is what I do. I'm not going to sit here and be like, damn, she looks young. Damn, what's going on? What is dude doing? Is he putting something in his drink and act like I don't see it? And then want to talk about what I watched somebody do 20 years later. Right? You know, Gene's mad. I asked him years ago. He said he's mad. Puff didn't help out with burying somebody on his friends. And, you know, he says what he says. He's working out for him. He's making money. But at the end of the day, you ain't in the boardroom when they negotiating a fucking contract. You outside. If you was in the boardroom all that time, I think Gene would have had his own label by now, right? He was running with Kay Slay every day. That's where I know him from. So, you know, people going to say what they got to say. When they start running out of shit to say, they start saying anything.
What are your thoughts on people discussing the atmosphere at No Jumper, saying that, in particular, Reggie saying that I could see something bad happening because the hosts genuinely don't get along. Is that an accurate assessment, or do you feel like it's overblown?
How can I put it? If you have three guys that play varsity football, right? And then you got some other guys that are playing Pop Warner football, right? The levels of seriousness of the football field is not there, right? What hosts that don't get along?
Isn't there like the Brick Baby in you situation, or is that?
I've never met Brick Baby a day in my life.
Really?
I've never seen the man. I've saw you more than I ever seen Brick Baby. I've never seen this man. Gotcha. He's asked Adam 10 times, can he come interview with us? Now, everybody know the day I do my podcast. They're up there every day. Yeah. My cars are very noticeable. Right? And I think Reggie might just be talking to be talking because Reggie himself fully understands if it's on like that and somebody know where you're at like that, what happens with that. But, okay, that's whacking Brick Baby. And Brick ain't did nothing to me to where it's that serious because I know where he at every day. Right? But he ain't did nothing to me where it's that serious. Brick live in the valley. It was at one point in time he was running around with my little homeboy. I know where he at. My right-hand man had been in the same room as Brick. So, okay, you got Whack and Brick Baby. Who else for this to be such a dangerous environment?
Yeah, and I think the point was made.
No, you gotta give me some more names.
The names, no. I don't know. To be honest, I honestly don't know the names to go that deep.
The facade.
Yeah. The way it was quoted with Reggie, it's not just Whack. His whole thing is like when you have gang members up there and they're drinking and they're smoking and they're, you know, they're doing
who
the stuff.
Who
is
this talk? What's the dude? Mob James.
Yeah.
Okay. Now another hypocrite. So. Death Row, all the security was Bloods and Pa Rules, and all the artists was Crips. And they were drinking and smoking and shooting dice and doing shit every day. But I think what it is they want to find anything that Wack involved with. This ain't Reg. This little guy got a soft spot for, right? And say, oh, this is a big situation. Now, they said the safety of the No Jumper building is in jeopardy. And I asked you, well, who's the people getting into it? If you have named two people that have never physically seen each other. Yeah. But we know each other that every day. But why is this a topic of conversation? Because it's the Wack 100 name tied to it. Yeah. Because I'm waiting to hear this guy get into it, that guy, and that guy get into it, this guy, and this guy get into it, that guy. I'm waiting to hear at least 3-4 little fires going on.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's two big names in that build. Adam, 22, and Wack 100. You got one on the way up fast. DW Flame, right? Mm-hmm. Other than that, you have the players and the up-and-coming faces, you know, of No Jumper. I just possibly added another two faces today. You know, I got a call. They say, Wack, we need some balance. What you mean? We need some Hispanics. I said, that's funny. Why you call Wack for the Hispanics? They say, I don't like the Hispanics. He said, Wack, that's full of shit. What you think? I said, I think you need Coyote. Coyote for Hire is their Instagram. Bring Coyote. They're non-gang members, but they're associated with everybody. They're creative as fuck. You understand what I'm saying? Right? Bring Coyote. Sit them in there. Let them bring the Hispanic culture of hip-hop, the Hispanic culture of just everything into No Jumper. And then there it goes, right? Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of things, you know, that they come to me for and I help cultivate. You know, this is why I salute Adam 22, because he gives us his platform. You can call him a culture vulture. You can call him a white dude in the black world. But the reality of it is this. In business and even in our existence, white dudes have been in black people's world and black people have been in white dudes' world. This is fucking America. The only people that say these things is the people that can't figure it out or have nothing else to say. So at the end of the day, let's talk real facts about No Jumper. Who's the biggest podcast on the West Coast?
Is it you and Adam 22?
No Jumper. Who's the most consistent show in podcasting, period? Content-wise, day in, day out, week in, week out, No Jumper. And No Jumper is 100% independent. They're not tied to Spotify. They're not tied to an Amazon. They're not tied to a Barstool. They're not tied to a Revolt. So they got to put some respect on the team's name. And that's all of them. Yeah. From every Crip, every Blood, everybody from the community, every male, female, Lauren, our scheduler, you know, our editors, right? My man Remo, you got to put some respect on No Jumper's name, because at the end of the day, if you in that No Jumper building and you add to the volume No Jumper, no matter how big or small you are, then you're important to No Jumper. And No Jumper right now is the winning team.
Yeah.
It's a fact.
I, not to self-promote, but I would say the other people that do content daily, every day for years now.
Vlad.
Yeah, and ourselves.
Yeah, Vlad is on. But y'all content is, y'all there, but then we don't see y'all.
Yeah, this is Reg.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And Reg is doing a great job for what he does, mm-hmm. right? And we're going to do something about that, because I think Reg's content should be plugged in and included in something else so it can make it a fuller situation, because you guys do a great job. Yeah. You know, you guys are easy to work with. Yeah. Straight to the point. There's no bullshit going on. Y'all not showing no favoritism. You're going to ask the question.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If a dude's lying and bullshit, you're going to tell him that. You're going to state the facts. So, you know, this is why when I get a call. Reg didn't call me. I told Reg, you ready? You need me to? Yeah, Wack, it's been some time. The guys love interviewing you. They say you're real easy to interview. Because I'm not a scripted guy. I just come up here, sit in the seat, and what you ask me, I answer. Right. If I don't know the answer, I tell you I don't know the answer. If I can answer it, I answer it. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to bullshit about it. I'm just going to be straightforward, right? And I think the overall concept of what we're doing from the clubhouse environment that me and my team, and I say me and my team, have created, the hunter side of the trenches of clubhouse, right? It plugs directly into what we're doing in podcast land. I don't know if you pay attention, but my brother Academics, about 20-30% of the time, he's reporting on content that he pulled from the hunter side of the trenches of clubhouse, right? Yeah. So when it gets to a point to where you got a guy on that mountain saying, let me go check and see what's going on, I can use this and report on it, we making some waves, right? And I use it when things come up that I know Reggie was there for. Right. Send Reggie a link. He comes in. Reggie, we have questions for you. So we're crossing it.
Yeah.
This very content, when it comes out, we're going to grab this clip. We're going to go probably to Dangerous Minds with my boy Beast and my girl Rosetta or A-Rod or my boy Eric, right, or Bang, and they're going to play this content, right? Yeah. And then my media team is going to probably take the content, right, give their thoughts on it, and then it's going to spread it up, spread out everywhere. And on there, Bomb First, I have, you know, shout out to Bomb First, Reggie Wright, such and such and such, WAC 100 interview. So guess what? Once again, WAC 100 is still adding, right, to what it is that wasn't being done prior to. Call it what you want, bro.
Yeah.
Right? You know, we're adding to it. We're making it bigger, and everybody's working together.
Can you break down for the people that don't follow this but maybe saw the video on Instagram here or there, what the whole deal is between Big U and SKG? Because I saw that they had filmed each other in a hotel.
You mean the last situation?
Exactly, the last one. Because I thought they were cool at one point.
No.
Okay.
No. Maybe about 3 months ago, SKG came to, actually with Tasha K. She came to the Hunter Side Clubhouse. She did an interview. And SKG used to work at K-Day. She worked there. And there was a program, I forget what it was called, I know it was geared towards the kids of the community. It's like $250,000 program. She had worked hard to put this together. As you know, Big U has development options. SKG from Rolling 60s. Big U from Rolling 60s. So Big U is saying, send the whole $250,000 to development options. SKG is saying, no, I want to send $50,000 to the 60s, $50,000 to the 40s, $50,000 to the Harlems, $50,000 to the Blackstones, $50,000 to the Swans. Five different communities so it can touch, have a longer reach for the kids, right? Big U like, nah, you send all that to me. SKG thought is, send all that to you, it ain't going to get to the kids, right? So she doesn't submit. Long story short, per SKG story, she was pregnant at the time. A certain rapper summons her to come bring something that she had had of his. When she got there, she was locked in there. And this individual, while she was pregnant, disciplined her. So many words. Again, you can find this interview on Tasha K. Google SKG Big U, you'll run into it. Okay, so SKG, because she was from 60s, she didn't contact law enforcement. She didn't call the police. She took it and went her way. Fast forward 10 years later, SKG is invited to the award ceremony with Benjamin Crump. If you go to SKG's Instagram, you will see SKG with photos with Benjamin Crump. I don't know about the other individual. I didn't see no photos of him and Benjamin Crump. And SKG no longer lives in California. So she had a hotel room by the airport. Okay. Her and her children. It was a black tie affair. Everybody had to be dressed a certain way. SKG's dress coming from the situation. She's at the table, hotel, requesting something for a room. And he walked up and started antagonizing her. Started saying, like, you something else, you something else. This woman's traumatized. You understand what I'm saying? So she reacts, right? She starts to throw things. She threw fucking bottles, anything she can get her hands on. By this time, my phone's called. So I'm on Clubhouse, so we live streaming it while it's happening in real time, right? Again, SKG, when she went through as a woman, because she from where she from, she didn't call the police. That's a situation could have probably got somebody 20 years. She stayed quiet, didn't say nothing about it. Statute of limitations was 3 to 6 years, right? It was over with. You talking about it today, nothing happens, right? First thing Big U says is, not knowing that the live stream is going on, can you call the police? Can you call the police? SKG responds, call the police then. See, you can't flip it to SKG said call the police because we heard you and we saw you. First, I let them hear it. And then I waited a day and let them see it. Look to the people and say, can you call the police? And SKG responds, call them then. Right? She goes to her room, done with it. Next thing you know, 10, 15 minutes later, security comes up, tells her, hey, the dude's called the police. It's not the hotel. He's filing some type of arrest that he can do. And asks her, well, do you want to give us a statement? She said, I'm not giving you nothing. She's still keeping it real to the code. For you know it, police come up. They don't even ask her nothing. They handle SKG like she assaulted an officer. Cuffed her, took her to jail. Only thing I could do was contact my bail bondsman and put him in position to get her, you know, if need be. And she was OR. But Big U called the police, waited for the police to get there. He wasn't staying in a hotel. Filed the report on this lady and watched her go to jail. And then did a video. You can go to the WAC 100 Instagram. The reels is pinned up top. Did an interview. Then said, if you want me to drop the charges, come to the hood then, bitch. This is a Muslim saying this to a black woman doing these things during Ramadan. So I appealed to the Muslim community. Right? I went on my Instagram. I felt a need to appeal to the Muslim community because I didn't. This is a single parent. She's a single parent, black woman. It's Ramadan. You're supposed to be a Muslim. And, you know, now you telling her one minute you fucking Martin Luther King. The next minute you some other shit. It's like, oh, you know, a young black youth, you know, don't fall victim to this. Now the next minute is, bitch, come to the hood. Get that. Right? Whoever is around him. I was around him many years. I would direct him what to do, what not to do. He's not the brightest color in the crayon box, right? He's just a name and a face that a lot of us help build when it comes to the music industry because he has zero music accolades. He has no singles. He has no albums. He has nothing. None of that shit. Even his initial run with Nipsey come through Pa Rules, right? Without us, it wouldn't happen. Right? So I appeal to the Muslim community only to get calls them to tell me this guy's been inactive amongst our community in the last 13 years. We do not acknowledge nor do we recognize Big U, who was formerly known as Hannibal, as being part of the Nation of Islam or the Feudal Islam. So We don't agree with what he's saying, what he's doing, but we have nothing to do with him, but we will make an attempt to reach out. But he is not practicing. He hasn't checked in. He hasn't, whatever it is that they do, he hasn't done. So it's, you know, it's a lot of fake shit going on with him. The persona of him being this, the persona of him being that, doing this, being, I don't know. I don't know if these dudes out of town want to continue to check in with a dude. What he gonna do when the op come or the heat come? What he gonna do? Hold on, my guys from Kentucky. Let me call the police. Right? Shit's over with, man. It's over with.
Okay, let me ask you your opinion on this while we're talking about Suge. What was your reaction when? Because Suge had this myth of being the biggest bully in the industry, right? When the stuff with Akon's manager, where he apparently gets knocked out, and then the barber, where he gets knocked out, were you around him at that time, or is that after he stopped messing with you? And what was your reaction when you heard
him? No, it wasn't no stop messing with me. We pulled back from him.
Okay.
Because it got to a point to where business was supposed to happen. He said, yo, meet us over here at 6 o'clock. We're going to have that meeting. 6 gets struck to 8 and 9. Before you know it, you look up, it's like 10 of us and showed up. I'm like, damn. It's a lot of meetings gonna go on, but we end up moving here, there. So what he would do is tell us the business meetings was gonna happen to get us there. And then he'd be like, all right, we're gonna go meet such and such over here. But the whole time he might be pulling up on somebody, and now he got us with him. Cause every last one of us coming with 3 or 5 people. Yeah. So now it looks like it's a mob of motherfucking people that where we ain't out here for that. We really thinking we're gonna tend to some business. So at a time he would say like, yo, meet me in White World. That was Hollywood. Man, fuck you. No more meetings at night. If we can't meet between noon and 5 o'clock, there's no more meetings. So a lot of us had pulled back from him. Probably about that week of Greg the Barber. Right? Y'all interview Greg yet?
No.
I'm going to set the meeting up for y'all. Okay. I still talk to Greg. Okay. Right? Probably that week that happened with Greg the Barber, we had pulled back. Because a few weeks prior to that, right prior to that, it was a Kid Rock situation that if I wouldn't have been there, it would have went bad. Out of pure respect to me, Rock gave a motherfucker some grace and bagged up. And that was just the respect that we had for each other. But the Akon shit, by that time, he was broke. He was fucking broke. He was out here renegading, sleeping on the couches. The homies over there in Devil Lane, you know what I'm saying? Our Fig, he was like literally sleeping on motherfuckers' couches. That's a fact. He was broke. This is when y'all seen the Vegas shit with the female, and he was allegedly doing this and pimping and all this. Like, think about, imagine hearing, you know, a mogul pimping, sleeping on the couch.
From 100 million.
No, 100 million. He was 600-800 million. So he was broke by that time. He was fucked up. Everything was gone. Real estate was gone. Michelle had her spot over there, but I think she was kind of making her move, but it was pretty much over with.
There's a video online. I don't know if you're familiar with it, with Suge's in White. It's like in a parking lot. He walks towards you. It looks like you guys are talking back and forth. Let me show it to you real quick. I just want to get your explanation on what you thought that was. Or I'd get the story on what that was about. Because it looks like Toy kind of gets in the middle.
Back in those days, Toy was like number 14 on the roster. Yeah, she lived in Vegas. She had a bunch of acne and shit. He used to take her shopping in the Foot Locker. No troll. So let me see what it said. Where the fuck are we at? Vegas somewhere? I see shit. Where am I at?
He'll walk over to you. You're wearing a black shirt. The video's super low quality, so.
Oh no, I don't even know where this shit is at.
Okay.
You know, we was together a lot.
Yeah.
Could most likely if Toy was there, it was in Vegas. Cause she wasn't around the Death Row office and all that shit back then. She came like way later, like maybe fucking 2000 7 or some shit. 8 like that. I don't know where the fuck we was at. It looked like...
Looks like a gas station, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
What was that at, Reg? I don't even know where that's at. I don't know where that's at. It look whatever it is, but me watching them, me looking at it. No, me looking at it is because Reg, you remember my problem I always had with Suge. You not finna expect us to do certain things with certain things when you ain't never like that. Right? And it was a handful of us. The majority, hey, and they do it. Yeah. But it's a handful of us like, you out your motherfucking mind. It ain't that serious. First of all, when you start running around here like that, and you doing that, then, but you couldn't just make some of us or expect some of us to do some way out shit, right, for nothing. So, but, you know, it was a handful of that telly, man. Fuck you. For real. Yeah.
I saw that Academics did a post where he was talking about, based off of some of Biggie's lyrics, he feels like Biggie might have been bi, and you posted and said, I agree.
I don't know them all, but it's a lot of things that Biggie says that reference what we, from the heterosexual side, would consider to be gay tendencies of homosexuality. You know what I mean? When you referencing you would rather suck a man's this over than deal with this kind of woman. And, you know, and he wasn't the only one, because when I heard that, I want to say somebody from NWA, I don't know if it was Ren or one of them, said some crazy shit about a 14-year-old girl. So, you know, it's like a lot of lyrics out there that people are playing, and it's like, asking myself, God damn, why didn't you catch that? So, but I mean, the lyrics are the lyrics. Yeah. So, you know, you hear them. There's no, oh, he meant this. You know, when you say you're going to suck another man's, right, that means just what the fuck it means.
Yeah.
I'd rather do this than deal with a woman. You know, we're going to hear that way.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I definitely believe that, you know, and I hate to say it, seeing what's going on now with Puff, shit, you never know.
Did you ever see where Lil' Kim and them would do this butterfly dance in front of a bunch of dudes where they'd be naked and they'd do some dance or some shit? Reggie talked about it one time.
I haven't seen it, but if Lil' Kim was doing it, she's a female, shit.
Yeah, but no, Lil' C's would do it too. It would be guys doing it in front of guys.
Lil' C's with butterfly?
Yeah.
Yeah, that ain't gangster.
Yeah.
Damn, I can't even fuck with Lil C's pizza no more. You thinking about that? Man.
Speaking of Biggie's lyrics, though, from what you're talking about, I remember a lyric where he talked about he would have Raven Simone claiming date, and at the time she was 8 years old.
Yeah, he said some crazy shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's just not cool.
Yeah. I know you had mentioned before that you felt that the Biggie shooting out here in L.A., that somebody on the East Coast was responsible for that. Can you elaborate on that?
Well, the politics come from over there.
Okay.
You know, that's why I see a lot of shit going on with certain individuals. It's like, you know, K. Slay taught me what you put in the universe gonna come back 360. So... on this side of it, it was business. On that side of it, it was reasons why certain things was happening. And at that time, let's just say Zip was dating Puff's mother. All the players is gone. Zip dead. You know, Biggie dead. Baby Lane dead. Right? It's only like two people still standing, one doing life and the other one's in Vegas dealing with what he's dealing with. But, you know, politics happen and sacrifice has to happen. So what happened on this side of it was just business. Without the politic, the business would have never happened. One is the gun, one is knowing when to pull the trigger. Right? So without the politics going on over there on the East Coast, the business would have never been conducted on the West Coast.
Gotcha. So Suge's podcast, he tried to throw a jab at the game. And he tried to say, he said, the game went and bought Diddy a Lamborghini. And he was like, I don't know why Game would buy somebody who has more money than him a Lamborghini when none of Game's friends have ever probably rode in a Lamborghini.
Well, Game has a Lamborghini itself. he brought Diddy a Lamborghini when?
I don't know what year it was, to be honest with you.
What year was this?
But there is a video Game saying I did buy. He was like, I bought Diddy a Lambo, you know, out of appreciation. You know what I mean? And Suge was trying to throw a swipe at it.
What year was this?
And when I told Diddy that Dre was trying to sign me, then Diddy was like, go do your thing, man. So that ended up being my whole career. So I was always grateful that Diddy didn't, like, do no bullshit. He was a real nigga.
Yeah.
So I feel like I owe Diddy something. So I bought him a Ferrari, man.
That's what's up, man.
It was just a Tuesday.
It was whatever year it was where Game said that for like 2 years he hung around with Diddy and they kind of, you know, they were partying.
Game's earlier years?
Yes, yes.
You mean the earlier years when Game was pretty much in Escalades and S-Class Mercedes?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Listen, maybe somebody gifted Game a Lamborghini. And if they gifted Game a Lamborghini, then Game don't give a fuck about a lot of shit that people give a fuck about. Yo got a Lambo. He'd be like, man, if I'm 6'5", man, fuck that Lambo. And if him and Diddy just happened to be doing some business or working together in the studio, he'd be like, yo, you want that Lambo? I didn't see dude, the jeweler. Yo, man, we got these watches, you know, just out of respect. We want to give you these watches. And jeweler lead, he'd be like, yo, y'all want them watches? I remember he started some shit called the Roly Boys, right? Fuck it. They bought him like 5 watches. He gave them all out. He didn't keep one. Yeah. Right? So, you know, something like that could have happened. But even if he did gift Diddy something, I mean, shit. Blueface gifted me this shit. So what the fuck that mean? I mean, let's not forget who Diddy is, especially at that time. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a factor in the music game. Right? Let's not forget that the game was up against powerhouses, 50 Cent, Jimmy Iovine, motherfuckers trying to block him from doing shit. So you know what? You know, Game could have been thinking strategically. You know, let me keep somebody on my side in case I need to go do a deal here or do a deal there or get a door open here or there. So, you know, at the end of the day, Game's a man's man. Suge is situating some gay shit, that's him. You know, you the one playing with people with parquet butter. Right? Listen, man. Let this man answer this phone call. I can say parquet butter and watch what name he says. Let's see. So, Suge, you got to chill out, bro. I think you be forgetting the weirdo shit you done did. Let's see. He better hope he don't answer. But I hope he don't answer.
Your call has been forwarded to voicemail. The person you're trying to reach is not available.
If he called back, I'm going to say parquet butter and watch what he say. Okay. You know, Suge didn't claim that he didn't, you know, did things to certain people. So, man, they keep that shit over there with him. He never liked Game. Game came to him, he didn't sign him. Game went over there with Dre, did his thing, and all of a sudden it was fuck Game for no reason. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, you know, but then when Game was running the club situation off Argyle over there, you know, you want to show up. Game was little bro, man, Compton. Mm-hmm. So, you know, dude is wishy-washy like that. But you know, everybody know Game got a big heart. Game and gave away shit and gave me shit. You know what I mean? It is what it is. So, you know, so it wouldn't surprise me if Game did give Puff some shit.
You mentioned in an earlier segment that you talk to R. Kelly somewhat often.
Yeah, every week.
How is he in jail and what is his mindset as far as, because the last thing I heard was Vlad said he did an interview with him and he was like, I'm not going to post it. And this is nothing against Vlad, but he just said, I'm not going to post it.
Until I released it, I did it.
Gotcha. And he was like, because he was on some conspiracy stuff or something like that.
Yeah. And R. Kelly called me. He's been trying to get back to appeal. A few things was in his way. He told me the things was in his way. He said, Wack, these are the things that I need to be massaged to position me to get an appeal. And the whole thing you saw going on with me and Tasha K was based on that, me getting her to admit and to say certain things. And he has an appeal going. Got a great appeal attorney. He has Bill Cosby attorney that helped Bill get out of his situation, follow appeal. It was a lot of things that wasn't allowed in his trial. The text messages of the mother of the girl telling him that she was a certain age. You know, these things. His emails were stolen from the prison, taken to Tasha K and somebody else, and then presented to R. Kelly's girlfriend to turn her against him and sway her to get on the stand against him. All these things were done. Phone records showing he was talking to other women. They did a lot of these things that they didn't allow to be permitted. But it's crazy you said it because we launched the Tronics Network, Ray J Network. I'm a partner in the Tronics Network. And we have all his phone calls, R. Kelly's phone calls, from the day he went to jail to present day. So you hear the, you see the transition of somebody think they're going to get out to charges being trumped up to, you know, he even wrote a song and sung it over the phone. Like, so we're doing a like a red tabletop setting. Okay. It's going to be called Surveying R. Kelly. Mm. I got Peter Guns. I got R&B, Queen of the Hunter Side. She'll be there. And it'll be like probably about three other people. and we'll play 3-4 minutes at a time, and then we'll let them talk about what R. Kelly's psyche was, the things he sang over that collect call. So this is called Surveying R. Kelly. But shout out to R. Kelly, man. Anytime it's misinformation or information that wasn't allowed to be permitted that could have led to sentence being overturned, you know, we're American. You know, I'm going to look at you as you innocent until proven guilty. So we see what happens. But he gave me the green light. I'm dealing with his liaison, Levi, who has the recordings. We're doing that on the Tronics Network. Probably June, July, you'll start seeing that.
Okay. Let me ask this. So the big thing right now in music is obviously like the Drake, J. Cole, Kendrick ongoing thing. What are your thoughts on it? Because, you know, J. Cole kind of took his back. He apologized or whatever and said, whatever Kendrick has coming for him, he'll take it on the chin. But it seems like more people are getting on Metro Boomin's album and kind of going at Drake. Just in general, what are your thoughts on just the whole, that as a whole, as far as mainly just Drake, J. Cole, and Kendrick?
For what? 15, 20 years? We watched them go at Floyd. Floyd Mayweather still stands today undefeated, right? Kendrick, that's nephew, that's family, right? He'll forever be TDE to me. I don't give a fuck what happened. When I hear Kendrick or think Kendrick, I think TDE, right? Kendrick spoke his piece. Fuck the big three, it's the big me. He's supposed to feel that way. He from the West Coast. He grew up in Boppin'. He grew up in the West Sides. And, you know, he come up with the homies. You know, he's not a gang member, but that's his mentality. His guide has been up on the top dog, TDE. You know, his security is 2 T's and J-Rocks. So everything around him is strength. So he ain't going to take the backseat to nothing, nobody. But J. Cole, I listened to what he said. He said, man, it was like I went back 8 years. My family, my friends, my fans, my homeboys. Ooh, 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 what you gonna say? Ooh, ooh, what you gonna do? He said, I responded. He not saying he taking it back because he's scared to do the back and forth, because when Kendrick and J. Cole and Drake got did do it, we don't never see violence. We hear good music, right? We get hit with what hip-hop is. He said, because it wasn't what I wanted to do, and I felt like I did it because I was peer pressured, I felt like it was lame because where I'm at in my life, right, that's not what I'm supposed to be doing. And I want my peace back because I didn't do that because I wanted to do that, right? I did that because all y'all wanted me to do that. And I salute him. And I believe Kendrick salutes him. And I believe they both respect each other's talents and skills. And they both understand that hip-hop needs them. And, you know, they gave us something that we didn't have that nobody else could give us. A great discussion, great lyrics, you know, something to talk about. You know, I played a part in that song last minute. They couldn't clear it. They called me on Wednesday. They had to clear by Friday. They've been trying to clear it for months. Shout out to my man, Big Bruce Lil Easy. You know, I had to call the streets to get to Tamika to get that done. You know what I mean? You know, family called, and shout out to Ryan Ramsey. And Ryan Ramsey's a go-getter. He's like, fuck it. My enemy is necessary. Let me get that done. And he worked his phone book, and he called me. We family. We both did co-management for Ray J. I called the streets, and the streets got it done. And it came out, and I'm glad I was able to help with it, with getting that done, because we needed that. Great work. So I salute all of them, all parties. Drake responds when he want to respond. Well, I come down the hill to deal with people that can't get up. He's Drake. So at the end of the day, if he want to respond, he respond. Me knowing Drake, he's going to respond when he wants to respond. He's not going to do what J. Cole did that he regrets doing, respond because everybody wants him to respond. Drake's on his own time. He's in his own world. You know, he learned from the best. Wayne to tell you, man, I'm in my world, not yours. You know what I mean? So shout out to Drake. Shout out to J. Cole. Shout out to Metro Boomin. Shout out to everybody that had anything to do with that project. We needed it. It was a breath of fresh air for hip-hop.
We usually do like a roll call thing with people that we interview. So I wanted to do one on music executives and just kind of throw out a name and get like your first thought or story or anything about that. Starting with Birdman.
My big brother. Great. Yeah. Legend. Still building, still ain't done.
Okay. What about Dre, Dr. Dre?
Legend. Great guy. I've probably spoken to Dre maybe 5 times. We know each other when we see each other. And I love the way he honors my brother Stat Quo. And I love what he's done there for hip hop. And he showed me, even if you fall, you can get back up. Because we watched him fall on his face and they took everything and he came up. So He's a motivation to me. When I feel like things ain't working, things ain't clicking, I think about Dre.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. What about TDE? The guys over there.
It's my family. It's my G homie, my mentor, somebody I know I could trust, somebody that has my children's number in their phone book as if they have his. That's family. That's somebody that no matter what's going on, he has a position with me of authority as a G homie. If he tell me to sit down, I'm going to sit down out of respect. And I just watched that man get the corners of Central and Imperial named after him. Top dog, you know, Mr. Tippett. So this is a guy that comes from the Nickerson Garden Projects, who's giving back to the projects, who still puts on his 501s and his hoodie and his fitted. You know what I mean? So shout out to Top Dog. He teaches me a lot. He checks in on me. It's genuine. It's all love to the whole team.
Okay. What about Lior Cohen? Did you ever have any dealings with him?
I deal with Kevin Lyles.
Okay.
But Lior is a great. The work he's put in, the things he's done, brother, if you agree with him or not, has been detrimental to the build of what we know as hip-hop. I believe Lior's over there at YouTube. Mm-hmm. One of my brother's tumors over there at YouTube. I salute Lior, and I appreciate and I honor, you know, the work he's put in this game and the doors he's opened up for people and his brotherhood to Kevin Lyle. If anything, You know, Kevin's still in position and they still growing. So, you know, you may not agree with some of his decisions, mm-hmm. but hey, that's business.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay. I think that'll do it. I appreciate you taking the time to talk to us.
Cool. Anytime. Okay. Anything for Reg.
Okay.